Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Ezra Watson, and Ezra is setting his sights on challenging Elise Stefanik for Congress. So, Ezra, running for Congress is a daunting task because there's so many counties. What made you decide to run for Congress?
Yes, hi, Cynthia. So thanks for the question. But what really got me to solidify that decision to jump into this race was a little bit of an iterative process. But I will say the main impetus was, you know, the Biden inauguration and the January 6th insurrection, and just how that was a direct manifestation of all the fear-mongering and everything that was going on in our country. And I felt I personally felt concerned enough as an American, as a to run for Congress, this federal office. And I've looked at other local offices, and I had tried researched those locally in Wilton, and you know, we just had elections here. It was feedback I got from others who have very similar views to mine, who are already running. And after I had learned about them and gotten a little bit more confidence, I started, and I put one foot in front of the other. I filed, and it's gone better than I expected up until now. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I knew that if I overanalyzed it too much, I would never just hit the go button, and so that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And right now I have a firm platform, and things have been going pretty good, and I can build on pretty good. I will say that.
Great. So you want to challenge Elise Stefanik, and Elise Stefanik has, you know, skyrocketed almost to, you know, the stratosphere in Congress. So when she first ran, she was more or less a moderate, and now she's a full-blown Trumpie. So can you give us a little history of Stefanik and, you know, being third, you know, in Congress? That's going to be a tough road for you. So give us a little background of Stefanik and, you know, what she's done in Congress.
Yeah, Stefanik now is the number three Republican, has solidified her position after ousting Cheney, and all this stuff is very political motivated, her siding with Trump. Starting back from when I first heard about Stefanik, just, you know, she was much more moderate. She even talked about climate change. Early on, she seems to have views that aligned with the more moderate position. Even many Democrats, you know, talking about climate change, how we need to address it. I remember hearing that. Of course, she was not really on my radar early on, but I do know she made the news about being the youngest Congress member. And so, being critical of Trump, obviously she was very critical of Trump, and of course, as any rational person would be, right at that time, he was just saying things. You know, I remember when he was starting to run, I was like, you know what, he's really going to shake things up. But as soon as he got serious, I just felt the feeling in the pit of my stomach that this is going to go wrong, and it did. And the fact that she sided with him so completely is the most shocking thing in my view. It's a complete compromise of her earlier stance. And I've seen this happen with other members of Congress, Ted Cruz. Now, the fact that she's the number three Republican, she might say things like, I don't intend to run for president. I think she's just biding her time at this time. The fact that she has put her own agenda above the agenda of pretty much everyone else, because as a federal office, when you say things like, when you stop talking about climate change, we're in trouble. That's my main focus. My number one focus is climate. My number two is healthcare. If you want to narrow down what I stand for to those two main pillars, climate and healthcare, and yes.
So, go ahead.
Oh,
no,
I just wanted
go
to
ahead.
Elaborate. Yeah, and then the latest news, and I messaged on this when she sent out a newsletter recently talking about her accomplishments and standing by soldiers and small businesses and things like that. And I'm trying to get through the fluff and seeing what she's actually doing. But I do know that it's bad messaging on her part when she skips out on a vote, two votes that directly affect veterans, such as the automatic enrollment into veterans health care and the other one to expansion on the GI Bill. When she is just steadily, routinely declaring herself to be the friend of the 10th Mountain Division in Fort Drum, to skip out on a vote, I know she voted in proxy, but to skip out on that vote for unreal reasons, for a health emergency, if you ask me, hobnobbing with Trump and company is a big health emergency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to go raise millions of dollars, that's just, you know, I feel like she's lying, and I feel like she's disingenuous, and I feel like she's a hypocrite.
So do you, from your understanding of what you've seen, you know, throughout her tenure as Congresswoman, do you think that she went in to Congress hoping to serve the public, or do you think she went into Congress and to serve herself?
Well, that's a very good question. Coincidentally, I have thought along those lines. Yes, I have thought along those lines. So you put a very good question there, because it does seem like, it does seem like now her agenda is not the same as when she started. Like, did she plan it all out? Well, you could speculate a lot. I have speculated along those lines. I'm not sure if I can say assuredly that that was her initial intention. But then that raises another question. Is that something we're all going to face when we have pure intentions of being a pure representative to those constituents we would serve? But yeah, it certainly does seem like that way now. I mean, that's where it headed, and that's where it ended up. She's not voting in the interests of New York's 21st district, I will say that.
So
she voted against the infrastructure bill.
She's running in for what term? How many terms has she been in Congress?
How many times have I been in Congress?
No, how many times has she been in Congress?
Okay, sorry. Connection here is a little fuzzy. Yeah, she has been in Congress. This is her third term, I want to say.
Okay.
That she just got into, her third term, I think. Or fourth.
Okay. Okay. So,
yeah.
It's just so interesting to see how she went from a moderate to a, you know, Trumpy as quickly as she did. And, you know, she's raising a lot of money to, you know, for reelection. How does a Democrat even think of challenging somebody who's raising millions?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I was on a panel with the committee in Herkimer County recently.
Mm-hmm.
just a few days ago on a Zoom session, and someone asked me a question: how do you think you're going to beat Stefanik, or something to that effect? You know, the sentiment of the question: how on earth do you think you're going to win against the Stefanik machine and her millions? Mm-hmm. That's what all Democrats are asking. Even those, I think Matt Pattori is raised over $300,000 last end of year check. But even this amount of money can't come close to the amount of over what 3 million she has now. And you know what your millions can do through you, the kind of opposition research and opposition messaging and her blame-ridden messaging and all that stuff. It's daunting. And for me, you know, I don't know what's going through. I can't say what's going through the minds of Pattori, Castelli, Farrell, all the other committees. They seem to be in a very kind of overly cautious, overly calculating, overly careful. Naturally, they have a lot of experience. They've been around forever. They're North Country people, born and bred, and they've seen these cycles come. And I give them credit for their experience, but I almost think that you have to ignore that completely if you want to resonate with anything or with any the people up here. I think you need to listen to people and meet them directly and listen to what they have to say. What do they want from their government? I know what I want, and I know what I'm running on. You can read all about my platform. I'm, you know, for universal health care, for very bold climate action and swift climate action and federal jobs guarantee. That's part of the Green New Deal. These are things I would vote for, and people know that. And so when I go out into the public, and I will be doing more of this too, SUNY Potsdam, SUNY Plattsburgh, I'll update my site when I do that. But as well as Watertown, I plan to go out there. I have some supporters in Watertown, and I want a message to Fort Drum too, the veterans as well. What do they have to say? Part of my project is going to be hearing directly from them besides what they know I stand for, what do they want to get done, and what can we get done in the federal government? There's a lot we can do that we aren't doing, I will say that. There's a housing crisis. There's a climate crisis. These can be fixed with the political will. So the messaging is, you know, getting on air, getting on radio shows like this. That's my strength. I have a very good campaign manager who's helping me out with all this stuff.
Good. So I'm sure you've been watching Stefanik's tenure in Congress, right?
Yes.
When did she make this abrupt turn to the right?
I wouldn't even say it was right when, obviously when Trump got in, she was still critical of him. We saw a very stark polarization of many Republicans going to his side and many going against, like we saw the Lincoln Project. I think it was about that time, the split. And around 2017, these tax breaks, they benefited the wealthy. Remember 2017, the Jobs Act, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these didn't benefit the working class. They benefited the rich. She sided with these rich interests. I don't want to call them rich. I mean, it's kind of – okay, I want to make something clear. I live in a rich town. I love rich people. They're nice. Okay. When people try to phrase these things, I'm not talking about a war with the rich. I know plenty of rich people. They're awesome. They're nice. They have good intentions. A lot of rich people up here in the district would support what I'm doing because we're trying to raise all boats. We're trying to raise the quality of life for everyone. We're not trying to take money from the rich. And this is the kind of messaging that Stefanik loves to twist around. She's a spin machine. She loves to spin these blame-ridden stories, and they're false. And they demonstrate a complete lack of research and insight into the real crux of the problems we're facing as a society.
So what you're saying is she doesn't really do her homework as well as she should?
Oh, I think I would be, I'm she, you know, she's highly educated. I'm sure she knows. but what she's doing is she's messaging on the lowest common denominator of, see, people have a cognitive chore. People have the burden of their own research, and in my campaign, I want to educate as much as I know from what I've learned so far, and I have learned a lot in my campaign, and I want to message honestly, and I want to make it clear that I can be trusted, and I think Stefanik being first of all, the elephant in the room is the big lie, okay. And then regardless of what the turning point was as far as her siding with Trump, I think it was sometime after 2017, like I said before. But her messaging just got so bizarre and so out of touch. Now she may still be doing things, some grants and so forth for some teachers, small businesses. I mean, she's definitely doing her job in a lot of ways, but. But it's the dangerous part of her messaging is siding with Trump, obviously siding with the big lie, voting, against supporting the big lie, promoting it, voting to overturn the election results. These are not good in the face of overwhelming evidence that nothing happened there. And they're still coming out with evidence. And I wonder what Congress, it seems like they're not doing enough to get the Department of Justice to do. I think we need to ban. I think there are people who should not be serving in Congress. It's dangerous. The January 6th, it was a manifestation of what that was. Hopefully that's not a preview of things to come. There are even people I work with who just say things that really put me on edge. They're all Trump supporters. Some are very into conspiracy theories. Some refuse to get vaccinations. I mean, I'm seeing the manifestation of this stuff in my daily life, which is even more of a reason for me to stay in the race, despite people who say I have no chance. I don't accept that myself. I think there's a very good chance, and I give people in the 21st District credit. As thoughtful, intelligent people who want what's best, people want a better, I put their wellness as the motivator. Like, we all want a better life, and so it's a matter of honest and pure messaging. I think Stefanik lacks that. I think when people wake up to that, they're going to know that there are other options out there. They don't have to always put their money on the biggest machine. They can support small people starting from nothing, like myself, if they like what I'm saying.
I have lived for quite a number of years in Saratoga County. And I know how Republican that county is. And I'm sure that all of the surrounding counties are kind of red instead of blue. And it's not going to be easy to unseat an incumbent. When you talk to people, are they unhappy with the representation that they get in Congress?
All the people I talk to are. I might have to reach further. I know it's a very Republican area. I know some farming families, very Republican. One of these long-standing farming families in Wilton. But there are others that are much more progressive. Like I know some dairy farmers in Watertown who are very progressive. Do not like Stefanik, are not even Republican, they're more progressive. Now, of course, there was a notion that I had when I started this race, a shift, and I know why some people initially voted for Trump, because they felt they were not being heard. I hear that a lot. They were not being heard. The government was a bureaucracy that was not receptive at all a big wall of bureaucracy. They thought Trump would shake things up, and he did, but in a bad way. But I know why they initially voted for Trump, and there's this theory called the horseshoe effect. I don't know where if you get back to the basics of what do people want from their government? What could I do to help them get their voices heard? It's really just back to the basics. If I can develop trust, I don't think it matters if you're a Republican or Democrat.
Okay. So you're facing a Democratic primary. There's three other people in the race besides you. I've contacted all four of you, and you're the only one that got back to me. So
go ahead. No, I really have a lot of faith in media, people like you, journalists. You serve our democracy, and so of course I'm going to call you back.
That's good. That's really good to know. I think this year is going to be very interesting, and primary date has not been set, but 2022, do you think the Democrats can hold on to Congress? And if not, if they don't hold on to Congress, what do you think that Stefanik will be doing to make sure she continues to climb up the ladder?
Yes, again, a very important question. First of all, I don't think Democrats are even doing everything that they can. Not able to come up with solid district lines. I personally am not too worried about that. It won't change my decision, but they threw out the latest map, I think. And I think they're recently, and they're still trying to work it out in state legislature, I believe. But as far as like on the congressional level, the Democrats right now, with the marginal majority, I feel like if a couple of things don't happen, if they can't pin some legality with the insurrection on a lot of these Republicans who are obviously planning it, from what I can tell, and the news reports that I've been seeing from the January 6th commission, if they can't do that, if they can't come out and vote in droves, like we saw a very weak turnout of Virginia, and that's why he lost recently, then yes, we're going to lose the majority, and then it's pretty much fair game for anything the Republicans want to do. And that goes for Stefanik as well. And I don't see her I mean, she says things like, "Oh, I'm a mom now," but I don't see her stopping anytime soon. So there's too much momentum there. She's going to go all the way to the top, and I believe all the way to the presidency. That's where her momentum's taking her. So, yes. Those two things. Voter turnout, obviously we were not able to pass the John Lewis Voting Act at this time to be a lot more Democrats in Congress. Now, I'm going to say a joke. It's a very mild joke. It's probably not going to be popular with my party, but I often say, how many Democrats does it take to change a light bulb? The key is we need a lot more.
Okay. So you've been in this race now for how long?
Oh, the longest of all of us. I started back in April, just before Matt Victoria, a couple months before him.
Okay.
I knew that, so, and I would need to get an early start.
So you keep a close eye on what she's doing in Congress, right?
Of course, yes. As much as I can.
Okay.
I do work full-time, but yeah.
Right. Now, that's an interesting point you just brought up. Working full-time, that dissuade you from, you know, giving 100% of your time to a campaign. Can somebody who works full-time win an important election as Congress?
That is what we aim. Yeah, awesome. Thank you for that question, because it's what I love to focus on. Your question, can somebody who's working full-time run for Congress? That's what we're aiming to prove, because I'm not the only one in this position. A lot of my peers, my colleagues who are running on a progressive ticket or on a progressive platform are in the same position as me. So all across the country, you know, in every state, North Carolina, Washington, Florida, there's a lot, you know, in this state and in the next district over New York's 22nd district, got Michaela Ridley. Probably not a little bit, you know, she's a progressive. We're all kind of in a very similar situation. There are very few progressives like myself who are not having to work full-time. I would say right now is very important for us, because we can prove this concept. It's our four-minute mile. I've heard someone use that term before. Mm-hmm. If we can crack this, I think we'll open the door for many other people. It's our constitutional right, and we're exercising it. It's our constitutional right to create the government that we want, and it's our constitutional right to run. So I'm one among quite a large group across this country who are running for Congress, Senate, even in New York.
Great.
So, yes.
So, you know, as this campaign evolves, I'd like to have you back on All Exits Closed to talk about, you know, how your campaign is going and what's going on with Stefanik and her tenure in Congress. So in the closing minutes, if somebody wants to volunteer for your campaign, whether they want to give you a contribution or phone banking or whatever, how can they reach you?
Well, they can reach me through a number of ways, mainly my website, www.watsonforcongress.org. That's the word for, not the number for, watsonforcongress.org. Immediately they'll see a form to fill out with their information. They're also opting into emails. but yeah, you can find it that way. I get that info. They can email you directly at info@EzraWatson.com. And they can find me on Twitter at EzraWatson4NY. That's on Twitter. And I do have a Facebook page, which, again, I wish I had more time to update this all the time, working full-time again. I'm trying to grow my team. If they want to volunteer, they can contact me that way. They can go to Act Blue. Just type in Ezra Watson. I'm on Act Blue for donations. I need to raise money. I need to raise a team. All these things are essential, especially coming up. We're going to be canvassing. That means going door to door. I've just printed out 500 brochures. I'm going to be handing those out, starting up in SUNY Potsdam, then on to Plattsburgh, Watertown. I'll be printing more as the funds come in. So maybe you'll get one of my brochures.
Okay. So, Ezra, I'd like to have you back on as this campaign evolves. Would you be interested in coming back on All Exits Closed?
Absolutely, yes. I'd love to update you on my campaign, Cynthia, anytime.
Okay, great. So you've been listening to Ezra Watson, and he's challenging Elise Stefanik for Congress. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and if you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Ezra. We'll talk again, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.